Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Good Thursday afternoon to everybody here in the first week or so of November 2015. We are going to have quite a good show today. We have a gentleman on who has written a book which delves into religion. And I know growing up everybody was said, don't argue about religion, don't argue about politics, don't talk about this and that and the other thing, so you keep the peace. This gentleman has a very interesting book about what Christianity is all about, and we will delve into it in just a minute or so. I was listening this morning to a fellow host on the Tough Talk Radio Network, and he was having a discussion as to finding out your why in life. And I was very taken back in a very positive way about his conversation with his guest about why you need to find out your why in this livelihood of something we call life. And I know that I have found my why, and it has taken a great traumatic life's experience to find my why, but I do know why I am doing it right now. And it is prone to helping people, and I think that's what most of us are here on this earth to do, is not just to make a lot of money, have a lot of cars, houses, furniture. We do it to help people, and help people is what we do on this show every week. So I think everyone who's listening will definitely like to call in and participate in this particular show today, because they have an opinion about the topic that we're going to be discussing today. So please call in at 347-989-1363. You can press the number 1 on your phone, and you can be put into the queue to participate in this show. Hopefully we'll get a number of listeners who want to call in and voice their opinion on the subject matter. If you are a social butterfly as far as media is concerned, you can definitely go to Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can go to Lloyd S. Rosen, look us up at either one of those places. You can email me. I'd love to get emails and answer the questions for people who have questions who do not necessarily want to put themselves on the air. That would be Bowler, B-O-W-L-E-R, 900, at sbcglobal.net. You can go to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. You can register to be a guest there. There's a link called Register to be a Guest. Please, if you have a book, you have a topic, you have a discussion that you want to have with me on the radio, and you want other people to know about it, please go to Life's Issues with LloydRosen.com and click on the Register to be a Guest. You can listen to the show at that location, or you can contact me personally. www.toughtalkradionetwork.com is a site that has all of our shows. We have somewhere between 10 and 12 shows right now, and tells you all about the hosts and the subject that they talk about. Please join us on all of our shows every week, Monday through Friday. If you're interested, all of our shows are downloaded onto iTunes. You can download them onto your iTunes and basically listen to it as many times as you'd like, dissect it, come up with questions, get back to me via my email address, and we would be more than happy to get the answers to you on those questions that you may have. Like I said earlier today, I am interested in my fellow host's topic on his show today, which was why. Why are we here today? And that is a very interesting question mark in my mind. It's a very interesting question mark in a lot of people's minds. Why are we born? Why are we here? What is it that our purpose is on this earth? If it's business, yes, it's to be successful, have your own business, not have to answer to a corporate boss. I understand all that, but I also believe that everybody is here for a particular purpose outside of work. We work here to make money, to be able to have a house, to have food, to have clothing, to raise our families. But our purpose here, our why, is a lot deeper than that. And after the commercials, we're going to get into it with my guest, Mr. Stefan W. Heinstra. He is an author and he's an economist. And we'll get into talking about those exact subjects right after these messages.
Feeling burnt out or lost on where to go next? Feeling like you own a job instead of a business, or that your business is running you instead of you running it? Expert business advisor Mike Calderwood can help. Mike uses a personalized, strategic, and proven approach to help you identify what is and isn't working in your business. He'll then help you establish an action plan so your business can thrive. Mike Calderwood, providing you straightforward solutions to gain a real advantage in your business. Learn more at MikeCalderwood.net.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. I'm your host, Lloyd Rosen, and we have a phenomenal gentleman on with us today. He is an author, but he's not just an author. He's been, for 27 years, an economist with five federal agencies. So he's a lifelong government worker. He's published numerous government studies for his job, magazine articles. He's done book reviews. He has written extensively for his job, but I think, and I can ask him this question when I bring him on, I think that more importantly, he is the author of a recently published book called A Christian Guide to Spirituality, which I think is much closer to his heart based on the fact that he is also a pastor and has been in ministry for a number of years. Without much hesitation, I'd like to bring in Stefan Heinstra. Stefan, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much letting me join you on the show today.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and I appreciate you coming on to discuss your book and a topic that has become very close to my heart. Before I get into the questioning, is it Stefan or is it Stephen?
I just usually go by Stephen.
Stephen, okay, that sounds fine with me. Tell us a little bit, like I said, you have been an economist in the government for 27 years, but you're also a minister, you're also a pastor. Tell us a little bit about you and your journey.
Okay. I started my journey with Christ through a movie. It was called The Cross and the Switchblade. I was about 13 years old at the time. In the movie, there was a very dramatic conversion of a young gang member in New York City. His name was Nicky Cruz. Nicky came to Christ, and so did I at that point. That began my journey. I didn't immediately feel a call to ministry. It was a number of years later. I felt that God was always near me. I always felt that I had a purpose in life. I didn't necessarily know what it was. And so I worked as an economist. When I was finishing up my work as an economist, I entered seminary. So I was a second career pastor. I finished seminary about a year ago, Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina. Today I have on my business card, slave of Christ, husband, father, tent maker, economist, and writer. These are the key points in my personal identity, the priorities that I aspire to. Normally our business card talks about our job responsibilities and the company that employs us. As a tent maker, I divide my time between volunteer work in Hispanic ministry, writing, publishing, and blogging. Hopefully each of these daily activities point to Christ. How do I pay my bills? Well, as a second career pastor, I rely on my pension earned in my career as a financial engineer and economist.
So would you say that your 27 years as an economist in the government, making a great career for yourself and a great pension and livelihood for you and your family, that that allowed you to walk through that door to do what you truly were meant to do here on earth?
The way I put it is that God calls each of us for a season to different things. I think that he truly called me into economics, but now he's called me into pastoral ministry, and so it's a switch in careers, but I'm working for the same boss.
Oh, yeah. Don't we all? And that's a very good point. Too many people don't understand that exact point. So that's an important point to get across. But you graduated from the seminary within the last year. Going from an economist to the ministry and going through the process of becoming a pastor or a minister, what led you to write the book?
Well, in seminary, I read quite a number of books on spirituality. At Gordon Conwell, we have a fellowship called the Pierce Fellowship, which focuses on spiritual formation and discipling issues. And so I read quite a few books, but when I read these books, I was a little bit surprised that I did not see much by way of discussion of the basic teachings of the church. The books mostly focused on spiritual disciplines or maybe how to have a spiritual experience. But the basic tenets of the Christian faith were assumed or neglected. So as I became aware of this, I felt a need to focus on the fundamentals of the faith, the source of our spirituality. Spirituality is nothing more than our beliefs lived out. When we attempt to approach God on our own, we basically are trying to build a metaphorical Tower of Babel. So after writing a couple of newsletter articles on spirituality concerns, I resolved a more in-depth treatment was needed. This led me to think about writing a book, and I was accustomed to writing reflections, so I structured it as a devotional.
So, going through the process, realizing that seminary school was teaching you certain things but not teaching you other things, did that make you approach wanting to write the book, or did that make you want to write the book because you had questions about what they were teaching and what you thought they should have been teaching more of?
Well, I think that seminary is a very specific enterprise. When you go to seminary, if you're studying to get a master's of divinity, you focus on pastoral concerns. You focus on learning to read Greek and Hebrew and study the Bible correctly. But a lot of things are left to the church, and it's what you bring to seminary as much as anything, which develops your spirituality. And so my focus on spirituality was something that I developed in seminary, but it was something also quite important to me all along.
So you go to seminary, you come out, like I said before, you've written a number of books, so writing a book probably came pretty easy to you as far as sitting down and putting it on paper. But then the next process comes along, and that is the publication of the book to get it out for the world to read. Now, this is your first book, so you haven't had any experience with publishers. What made you decide just to bang it out with your own company rather than publishing it through a traditional and not having the headaches of doing it yourself?
Well, thank you for asking. This is an interesting question, actually. As you're aware, the process of finding a suitable publisher for a first-time author can be both frustrating and time-consuming. About this time last year, I was looking around for publishers, and I eventually found one. I was offered a writing contract, but my desire to publish a low-cost devotional and to maintain a bit of artistic control over the book conflicted with the publisher's normal paradigm. And so we parted company. But at that point, I'd already started down the road of being an independent publisher. I'd registered T2 Numa Publishers, LLC, as a business. And having a background as an economist, it was rather fascinating to do this. The chief thing that I guess held me back was since I hadn't done it before and wasn't something you can go and study anywhere, you had to learn as you do. And so publishing my own book was one way to teach myself the business of publishing.
Well, being involved in trying to get my own business off the ground and being involved with Tough Talk Network, business network, I should say, it's a very fascinating scenario that you want that, I wouldn't say you want that control, but you want that adrenaline of having your own company, helping other people with your company, and then watching the success of other people by what you did for them. So I understand that. So your book is like you said, it's a spiritual book. It's a devotional book. It poses some serious philosophical questions as well. That's not my image of a Christian devotional. What is going on with the book? What are you trying to get out with the book?
One of the problems with Christian spirituality is it's more sophisticated than most people are aware. Back in the 1950s, when Christianity was the only show in town, so to speak, simplicity was okay. But today, Christians are exposed to challenges from mass media, philosophical atheism, and competing religions. In this context, it's helpful to explore the depth of our own faith. And so I've tried to expose my readers to the traditional teachings of the church and the biblical basis for it.
Your cover's quite interesting, too. What is the story behind the cover?
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, as I was blogging this last year, I became very aware of the sensitivity of people to visual images. You know, if you have a good blog and you put it out there and it doesn't have a good picture to go with it, people ignore it. But if you have a great picture, it's much more likely to attract attention. And so that's one of the reasons I was very sensitive about the appearance of my book and some of the artistic characteristics. For those of you who have not seen the cover is a picture of the Hagia Sophia, which is a mosaic found in a church in Istanbul, Turkey. And it's a picture of Christ. And so the book, which makes the point that our Christian faith starts with God, and particularly God in Jesus Christ, that image sets the tone for the whole book. And so I don't put my name on the cover. I only have the title of the book on the cover, which is required by the publishing industry. In the book itself, I actually use one other image, which is found on the title page. There's a picture of a path in the woods covered with snow. And this path is a picture of a local road here that was turned into a park. I went out on a cold March day and took that picture. The two pictures together give the book a bit of a retro feel, and that's intentional. The picture of the park in the woods is in black and white, which is very retro today when everything's in color. But the point is that not only is our spirituality, does it start with Jesus Christ, but it's also something that doesn't change very dramatically with the passage of time. New things in spirituality are often presented, but they're often wrong. And so the need to continually remind ourselves that it's Jesus Christ and his experience on earth as found in the biblical accounts, which ground our faith, that meaning, that starting point is very important.
Now, would you say, and I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking to myself, as far as Christianity is concerned, as far as the teachings of Jesus Christ for today in the year 2014, as much as people are trying to change them and trying to become more liberal and a little bit more secular, which we see every day in the world, as much as we're trying to change that to supposedly be better for ourselves in today's society, that they stay the same no matter how much we try to change them.
It's important that we explain our faith in terms that people understand. If I would speak to you in Latin, you probably wouldn't understand me, but it might be perfectly correct in terms of the Latin Bible. But as Christians, we believe that God speaks to us in our daily lives, that he speaks to us in ways that we can understand. And while that may be a very old truth, it's fresh and new every day as long as we're willing to make it and contextualize it. So when I write in my book, I do go back a bit in time. The Bible was basically pulled together. It wasn't written, but it was pulled together in the 4th century. And at that point, and from that point forward, no matter what denomination you're part of, what secular group, or what part of the church you're part of, three things stand out. We believe together in the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. And those things form the basis of our Christian doctrine. And that it should be part of our spirituality, since spirituality is nothing more than our theology lived out. So having said that, we are ancient in looking at these three things, going back to the 4th century, but we're also applying it in the current context. And so we talk about current issues, we talk about how people understand these things in the lives that they actually live. And so it's very real, it's very contemporary in that sense. But we don't walk away from those basic teachings.
No, I have to say, even in my life, I don't stray very far from the basic teachings, because I found that I have strayed away from the basic teachings, and it has been traumatic in a negative way for me. So today, in today's society, as I go through my days in 2014, I don't stray too far away from it, and I feel a lot more happiness and a lot more contentment by keeping in line with what I've read and what I've been taught and what I feel inside of me as being what's right and wrong. So that's an important part to of most people's lives, that they have to understand what it is that God is trying to teach us and talk to us about and use it. Because I know when God speaks to me and tells me to do something and then I don't listen to him, I find out later in the day or later in the week or whatever that, yeah, hey, I should have listened to him because he had the right answer, and he always has the right answer. So I tend to go back and listen to him a lot more often than I don't listen to him. Having said that, you, besides writing this great book about Christianity and a little bit more understanding of Christianity in layman's terms, you also blog. You're also a very active social media person, and you blog. The name of your blog is what? T2Nama? Is that how you pronounce that?
T2.net.
Right. How did you come up with the name, T2?
T2Numa is short for Tau Deuteron Numa, which is Greek, and it means second wind. Among long-distance runners, the term second wind refers to the point after which one has established a pace in the race and become comfortable with it. In the New Testament, the term pneuma is the preferred word in the Greek for Holy Spirit. And so when I say Tau Deuteron Numa, it's both a reference to the fact that I'm a second career person, but also a reference to a special anointing of the Holy Spirit for ministry.
Now, I've read where you are a social media person, but you're doing it from an online pastor perspective. So you're a little bit more sensitive to the needs of your readers and do not express a lot of personal views. But I have a friend who is a pastor, and he does just the opposite. He expresses a lot of his personal views because he feels, if I have it correctly, that his personal views are important because that's what he lives his life how and by and all of it. So why don't you feel a necessity to help people by expressing your personal views? Because your personal views, I would think, come from seminary and from God, which is what we all should live with anyway.
Well, that's a great question. The way that I express my concern as a pastor is in choosing the subject matter over which I might address a topic. For example, earlier this week I had a post on everlasting life. Okay, and that eternal life is an important issue for us. And in that reflection, I talk about not only my views, but also my perception of what the Bible has to say about it. And so in that sense, I am expressing views. I'm being Christian. I'm being pastoral. I'm being biblical. I'm not trying, though, to I'm not trying to be dogmatic about it. One of the things that I learned working as a chaplain intern in a hospital was that oftentimes people come into stressful situations with a lot of baggage, and if you listen carefully, they'll tell you exactly what it is. And usually, there'll be one thing that's been holding them back. Somebody comes into the hospital, they've had a heart attack, and so you're seeing them in the emergency room, and they're feeling, pretty vulnerable at this point. They don't necessarily want to hear your views about different things, but if you would talk to them about what was really on their minds, why their life was out of control, they'd be very interested in hearing about that. And so the context within which you minister is determined by the person that's in front of you. And that's true of a chaplain. For a pastor, you have to kind of be sensitive to what's going on in the church and what the issues are that people are struggling with. And then within that context, you can speak biblical truth. But if you take it out, if take biblical truth out of context and just kind of, you know, do the street preacher thing, you may reach some people, but you'll turn an awful lot of other people off. And so I try to be sensitive to what I perceive people's issues to be, and I, in my blogging, I will review books, for example, that talk about problems that people face at different times in their lives and different different issues. Like, you know, oh goodness, I've had books about addiction. I've had books about sexuality, other things, and I go and I review what the author has to say, and I give kind of a, you know, Christian perspective on it. I don't necessarily criticize the book, but rather write more of a commentary on the book, and let the reader decide, you know, whether they like it or not.
Right. So you are not being so much judgmental, but you're giving your opinion of the book.
Well, it is judgmental because I'm employing, you know, criteria. One of the points I make in the book is that God does not say that we should not judge everyone, but that we should judge righteously. And the example that's given is the example of Solomon. He's confronted with two prostitutes and one baby, and they're fighting over the baby. And how do you figure out who the real mother is? And, you know, Solomon doesn't, you know, lean back and just, you know, blow them off. And he also doesn't just make a decision. He probes. He tests the women to see whether they really love the child. And if one of them loves the child and the other one doesn't, then the mother will be obvious.
That's sort
of the judgment that God is asking us to make, not that we should have strong views about everything, but rather that we should test and make sure that the spirits that we are addressing are truly of Him and of the Bible. And so we have to listen twice as much as we speak. That's, you know, what's the old saying? That's why God gave you two ears and one mouth.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's what I was thinking about saying. But you took the words right out of my mouth. Stephen, let's give the information as to where people can find your book, find you, find your blogs, and let them search for themselves what you've found to be true.
Okay. The name of the book is A Christian Guide to Spirituality. It's found on Amazon.com. It's available in paperback and in Kindle. My blog is T2. So it's the letter T2. Then Pneuma is PNEUMA.net. That's my blog. If you want to read about the book, .net is one, it's the blog, but .com is my publisher website. I'm also available on Twitter at T2Pneuma. It's the same thing, T, the number 2, and then Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. Think of pneumonia.
Yeah, really.
So it's easy to Google A Christian Guide to Spirituality. It will come up, and you'll see links to it everywhere. I'm currently translating the book into Spanish. About two-thirds of the way through the first draft of that.
Wow. Sit tight for a minute. We're going to go take some commercial breaks, and we'll be right back.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Yeah,
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems. Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues. We're speaking today with Stephen Heimstra, who is a former economist and turned author for a book called A Christian Guide to Spirituality. He went, after being an economist for 27 years, went into the ministry and now teaches about God and all that he has to offer. And Stephen, when we were discussing the first half of the show, we were talking about your book, what made you write the book, what benefits you want people to get from the book. I'm going to change the subject topic a little bit right now. We're going to talk about some questions that people ask in general about their belief system or a belief system in God. And I was about to tell you, I was born and raised a Jew. As you know, and most of my audience knows, Jews don't believe that the Messiah has arrived yet. And so Jews normally are taught that they're going to sit in purgatory until he comes back again. My ex-wife, who is a Roman Catholic, didn't necessarily believe that believing in Jesus Christ as the Savior was the only direction to get to heaven. Is there more than one path up the mountain to God, or is Jesus Christ the sole way of getting into the kingdom of God?
That's a great question. As you know, there are a lot of people talking about different paths to God and to say that, you know, we don't need to pay attention to Jesus Christ because we have all these alternatives. The issue, though, that comes up is, okay, is that a trick question. If you recall, since you came up, grew up in the Jewish faith, there's a story in Genesis about the Tower of Babel. And in the Tower of Babel story, what happens is that people try to build a tower up to the sky so that they can reach God and bring him down to their city. And this was a way of, in part, of bribing God to bless their city. Okay. Well, the two reasons why, well, we know from the story of the Tower of Babel, that God came down, he saw the tower, and he laughed at them, and he then began to confuse them with different languages. And so they couldn't speak to one another anymore. And we're kind of going through this process today. We see, you know, people using words, the same words, but using them with different meanings, and they can't talk to each other. Well, one of the things that happened in the New Testament undid this problem of the Tower of Babel is that the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And what did the Holy Spirit do? He gave people the ability to speak to one another in the languages that they understood, but to speak truth, God's truth, into the lives of the people around them. And that's what we're called to do in the church, and that was the founding day of the church. So it was an un-Babel story. It was God reaching down to us, just as he did on the cross with Jesus Christ, to bring new life. Well, there are two reasons why there are not other paths to God, and one of them is God's holiness. God is holy, and we are not. We are sinful. And because we are sinful, we cannot bear the presence of God in the absence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ mediated between us and God by his holiness. The second reason that we can't approach God on our own is that God is eternal, and we are not eternal. I sometimes talk about the idea of arranging a meeting with God. Suppose you wanted to arrange a meeting with an eternal God. How would you even go about doing it? Suppose God's, best meeting date was A.D. 30. Or maybe it was A.D. 3000. How could any of us arrange and keep a date with an eternal God? We can't do it. We're not eternal. And so it's utter foolishness to believe that we can approach God on our own. There is no tower that reaches to God, metaphorically or physically. And so for that reason, we know that the question of a path up the mountain to God is a trick question.
We talk about sovereignty of God. What's the sovereignty of God all about? What does that pertain to?
Well, the sovereignty of God means that God is all-powerful and able to do things without anybody's help. That's what sovereignty implies. God did two things that we cannot do for ourselves. He created us. We cannot do anything to earn creation. It's just foolishness to think that we can earn to be created. The second thing that God did was that he sent Jesus Christ to save us from our sin. And salvation is also something we can't do for ourselves. And so those two things, creation and salvation, occurred before any of us were born. And so God is sovereign. He has complete jurisdiction over us. And it is just plain foolishness to talk about our own freedom in the presence of God.
Okay. Now, I've got a question which I have been asked numerous times. And I tend to, when I hear the question, I tend to sit back and I go, yeah, you got a point there, and I don't know the answer, but I'm not really too concerned about the answer because obviously my belief system tells me that God has a reason for what he does with everything that happens. So having said that, in terms of what my belief system is, people have come to me and they say, I can't believe there's a God when he killed a total of over 12 million people during World War II in the Holocaust. Or I can't believe there's a God if he caused, or he didn't cause, but he watched as three planes, two went into the World Trade Center, one went into the Pentagon. What is the ministry, the seminary's answer to the I don't know what the word is I can use, the problems that happen in the world today that God can control? Why does he allow them to happen like that and make people believe there really isn't a God if he's going to allow that to happen?
Well, this is a classic question. Either God is out of control or he isn't good. That's one that's posed frequently by atheists. The sovereignty of God means that he is in control and that events that happen. When we say that we have Christian freedom, we're saying that we are free to be good under God's sovereignty. We're not saying we're free to do anything we want. It's a freedom within God's sovereignty to do good, which we don't have if we don't have Jesus Christ. We don't know what God expects of us, then we cannot do it. And so it's only through Jesus Christ we can do it. But the question of God's goodness starts with some things that are very basic. Is it good to have been created? Most people will say, well, yeah. I'm glad that God created me. That's a good thing. Is it good that God is in control? Well, why is God sovereign? Well, God is sovereign because he created us. He created the entire universe. And so he's good for that reason. The problem of evil is not one that we can solve. And certainly Satan believed that he had won on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. But the paradox of our faith is that was precisely when God intervened in the world to bring about a change, and a change for the better. And this change is not over with. We talk about our salvation being here, but not yet. Started, it is not completed. And in Jesus Christ, it started. But we play a role as well, and part of our role is to be in the lives of the people around them and to mitigate the suffering as best we can. We are not in control of everything. My personal faith walk was severely tested by the fact I felt I could not change the dramatic events in life. I can't cure world hunger. I just simply can't. But the person standing in front of me on the street who hasn't eaten for 3 days, I can buy him lunch. Okay. And so I'm not mitigating all of hunger in the world, but I'm obligated as a Christian to do what I can. And so my journey was impacted by the realization that we have to respect the boundaries that God has given us. And one of the boundaries is we don't know his complete picture for us and for the world. But we know that that God is with us, and we know that he loves us, and we know that he's good. So we have, in some sense, the hard part of faith is trusting God's goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people have issues where they question it because they're so downtrodden and so under the weather in terms of not having a job for 3-4 years, not being able to put food on the table, pay their rent, whatever it may be. And there's a lot of people who feel that way, but they have to keep an open mind and keep their faith alive, because when you least expect it, he's going to drop something in your lap and you're going to look at it and go, wow, there really is a God, and he is good, and he does want me to succeed. He does not want me to fail, which a lot of people think he wants you to when things are going bad.
Well, one of the things that I've learned is when something happens during the day, or something really bad is going on, like being unemployed for a lengthy period, instead of saying, why me, my prayer is, Lord, why did you bring me to this time and place? What it is that you wanted me to do? And that change of attitude made all the difference for me. I suddenly was in control, at least, of the fact that I was turning towards God, not away from him. And that little bit of control meant all the difference, because, depression is so easy. It's so easy to say, why me, and to descend into the pit. But the only thing that keeps us out of the pit day by day is to focus on the risen Christ and what he's doing in our lives. And so You know, when I worked in the psychiatric ward, one of the hardest things was to sit and listen to some very, very dark stories. And one of the things I learned to do was to ask, what brings joy to your life? And oftentimes, even with the darkest of stories, people turn around and suddenly they're telling me all kinds of wonderful things. And so by keeping the appropriate focus on Christ and not on ourselves, we avoid the pit. Day by day, we can deal with what is in front of us.
And I have to agree with you 100% that keeping our eye on the bigger picture and allowing Him to control our lives over the big picture is important to keep us out of the pit, as you put it, because I've been in that pit, and I know how deep it is, and I know how hard it is to claw your way out of it. So I definitely wake up every morning just wondering what He's got in mind for me and leave my life in His hands, because when I see what He has for me, I'm amazed. So I'm looking forward to the next adventure that He has set forth before me. Let's have you, Stephen, give the information as to where where our listeners can get your information.
Okay. My book title is A Christian Guide to Spirituality. It's available on Amazon. It's available in paperback and on Kindle. You can listen to or you can read my blog at t2numa.net. That's a T followed by a number 2, and then the word pneuma, pneuma.net. I blog 4 times a week. I also have a publisher's website, which is t2numa.com, and you can go there and you can read about the book. There's also a leader guide, a series of YouTube videos which give an overview of the book. There's a media guide which has kind of Q&A, and there's some biographical material as well.
Sounds good. I really want to thank you and appreciate you coming on and spending a little longer than you had anticipated with us today. For me, it's always a fascinating topic to discuss because of where I've been and where I've come to and how I've learned who controls my life. So thank you very much, and hopefully we can come up with some other questions that pertain to us as earthly people and how God works in mysterious ways, so we can bring you back.
All right. Thank you, Lloyd. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you, Stephen. Have a great one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. That was Stephen Heinstra. He's an economist, a former economist, I should say, and a present-day author and pastor. He has written a book called A Christian Guide to Spirituality, which explains a lot about Christianity and the deep offerings that it has. We'll be right back after these messages.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. I'm your host, Lloyd Rosen, and we have just spent the last hour talking with Stephen Heinstra about a topic of a book he's written, Christianity Guide to Spirituality. And in closing the show today, I just want to say that if you're more or less searching for something and you don't know what it is, I think you should pick up this book and read it. It's a great guide to how we're supposed to live our lives and what it tells us about life in general with a belief in a higher power. So I think that it would help people. I think that any book that's written like this has a purpose, and it may be to help you as a person figure out your life. So I suggest that you go and pick it up, A Christian Guide to Spirituality. Until next week, when we'll be on again, just before Thanksgiving, you have a great weekend, a great week, and take care.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.